Uh-oh, I pushed the button just a little too quickly. Sorry about that. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials this Saturday morning. Straight up 7 o'clock. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. This just came out from the New England Journal of Medicine. They conducted a study among 19,000 healthy adults over a period of 5 years. Now listen to this. They found the risk of death from any cause was 12.7 events per 1,000 person years. So just do the math on that. They're trying to estimate if there were 1,000 years, what would be the cause of death. And there was 12.7 deaths per 1,000 person years when you used aspirin every day. Now, what does that compare with? Well, it's 11.1 when you take a placebo. This is brand new information, never been studied before. It completely invalidates all the other studies. It says if you take aspirin every day, the chances of you dying are greater than if you did not take aspirin. You know what the major disease was when you took aspirin? Well, it was cancer. They go on to write from the New England Journal of Medicine that cancer was a major contributor to a higher mortality. That means there was 1.6x excess deaths per 1,000 patient years among aspirin users, which was unexpected because the prior studies, they showed exactly the opposite effect. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Here's the author's comment. Baby aspirin, which is usually 81 milligrams. Sometimes it could be 100 milligrams. He says it's not a sufficient dose of acetyl salicylic acid, which is the active ingredient in aspirin, to promote health. But he goes on to write that a full-sized aspirin tablet provides 325 milligrams of acetyl salicylic acid. And here's how aspirin works. It induces small losses of blood in the digestive tract, which is a direct way of reducing iron load similar to bloodletting. It used to be that barbers, they were the experts at bloodletting. They would bloodlet, they would use leeches. But what they're after is, they're trying to reduce the iron load. I've got to believe this is one of the major reasons that people are healthier when they donate and they give blood. You may have heard me quote that study from France from the late 1970s that I found so fascinating. Men that had no interest in life, they just didn't have any get up and go. They couldn't do much after work. They had no interest in their wives. When they donated blood, all of that turned around. It had a tremendous effect on human testosterone levels and human growth hormone levels. We don't hear those things very often because they don't lead to a tremendous increase in maybe pharmaceutical prescriptions. But that is not a bad idea if you're a man and you're sluggish. I thought of that yesterday after a gentleman walked out of my office, and I don't remember discussing the topic with him. I'm positive I didn't, but that's a way to wash the blood clean, to reduce the load of iron. Iron definitely can oxidize and start to rust inside the body. It's one of the reasons why when women are given iron supplements like ferrous sulfate, oh, they have horrible constipation. Because iron starts to rust and starts to irritate. All right, what's the other one I came across? I'm on my phone, I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Oh, here's the other one right here. This is another new study. There's a consortium of 17 prominent cardiologists pointing to a study where there were 1.3 million patients in the study. And if you ask me, that's a lot of people to take a look at to see what the effects are. But they're calling on doctors to abandon the use of statin cholesterol-lowering drugs to prevent heart disease, saying they offer no protection. The strongest and the most striking finding was that elderly people with a high... I know this is completely different than what you've heard. the form of LDL cholesterol that they say is so evil and so bad is LDL type C. And so this is considered the most dangerous form of cholesterol. Personally, after looking at tens of thousands of lab tests that come in my office with patients attached to them, lab tests for patients, and when they do a lipid profile, usually they just do total cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, and then LDL. Most of the lipid studies, they don't even measure LDL-C, but some do. Some people come in with a VAP test or the Berkeley Heart Study test, and those are great. But doctors traditionally considered LDL type C the most dangerous form of cholesterol. Well, in this particular study, they showed, and this is a quite striking finding here, that elderly people with the highest levels of LDL type C, which is considered the evil, most dangerous form of cholesterol, isn't it interesting? They live longer than anybody else. So there's got to be like something there that we're not being told. We're told that LDL cholesterol is bad, but this study shows that people have the highest amount of LDL type C, which they consider the most dangerous form. They live longer than anybody else. Okay. Oh, here's where it came from. The Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology Journal. They pointed to a statistical deception that created the false appearance that statin drugs are safe and effective for heart disease. Here's what they show. Statin drugs are said to reduce the risk of a heart attack by 30%. That's what their claim is. But that is a relative number. And they're saying that maybe 3 out of 100 adults, they experience a heart attack over a 5-year period, and they may reduce that risk to 2 out of 100, which is really only a 1% risk reduction. That's 1% in hard numbers. So, but if they use relative numbers, that comes to 33% drop. And they say also conclusively that statin drugs only prevent the non-mortal type of heart attacks, not the deadly heart attacks. Where's the other one right here? This to me is interesting. There is a molecule that God has created within red wine. It comes from the skin of grapes. It's called resveratrol. I don't know if you've heard of that before. But sometimes in those regions of France where people live for a very, very long time, they say this might actually be the reason. So are you okay with the idea that just maybe God knew what he was doing by creating these chemicals and the very things that we call food? I personally think grapes are one of the greatest inventions of all time for humankind. If you want to improve the health of your kidneys, let's just say your kidneys are weak and they're sluggish, it may not be a bad idea just to fast one day only on grapes. I kind of think that the darker the grape, the more color it has, the better it is for us. But now there's strong evidence that the red wine molecule, resveratrol, it could replace aspirin as a heart-protective natural medicine, as it tends to thin the blood like aspirin, and it also limits the extent of a heart attack. With the realization that half of the people experiencing a sudden mortal heart attack were taking aspirin on the day of their demise, that doesn't sound good, one cardiologist suggested resveratrol as a safer and a more effective option over aspirin more than 8 years ago. And I point out that resveratrol, that natural medicine found in the skin of red grapes, is the first natural medicine to be successfully tested in an animal model of experimental heart attacks. Well, goodness, who do you know of that's been killed by eating a grape? I don't think anybody. Where did I find this article right here? Oh yeah, here we go. Oh, number 31. I don't have the study on this. I could look it up, though, in the back of this book. It says, in areas of our country, meaning North America, United States, where they have higher water hardness. Have you ever been places where you took a shower or bath and you said, the water's different here? Well, it's probably because the water was harder. But when the water is harder, That means that thusly has a higher magnesium content. Well, isn't it interesting they have the lowest cardiovascular death rate when people consume water in areas where it's hard? Now, they claim that aspirin reduces heart attacks. Listen to this. Clinical trials have shown significant mortality reduction from giving magnesium to cardiac patients. In a study of heart attack patients, magnesium therapy given before a thrombolytic therapy event decreased mortality by 24%. You know, I remember this used to be the standard of care. If you showed up at the emergency room and you said, "It feels like there's an elephant sitting on my chest, I'm in dire straits here, I've got major pain, I feel like I have indigestion, I'm burping, I'm belching, there's pain on the left side of my neck and my shoulder and going down my arm, I'm breaking out in a cold sweat," well, you might be having a heart attack. You know what they used to do? And I'll just throw this out there. They used to instantly start magnesium IV therapy. Because what does magnesium do? It tends to act as nature's natural calcium channel blocker. It tends to open up the arteries. Anytime you open up the arteries, as opposed to constriction, you get more blood flow. You get more oxygen. The last time that I checked, one of the keys to life is getting oxygen to the tissues. So if somebody has very, very poor blood flow to the heart, well, that's what they used to do in all hospitals. It was the standard of medical care that they would give them magnesium. You know what magnesium sulfate is? Sometimes it's called Epsom salt. I would say that the vast majority of all people that have significant weight gain and they feel very sluggish and they have a lot of stress and they're just worn down or beat down, you know what I'm talking about. I think everybody goes through trials and tribulations. I mean, doesn't it say in Psalms that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers them out of them all? Yeah, that's true. Everybody's going to have afflictions. But when you're under stress, your body may be burning through or consuming more magnesium than what it would be if you're not under stress. So we have this very interesting Russian trial right here. Just because the study was done in Russia does not mean it is not true. Russians are brilliant. I would be scared to think about how well they could do with their space program if they had the same tools and computers that we had. But the Russian people are brilliant. It's amazing the technology they come up with. Of course, what they're doing is they might be using their brain a little bit more than somebody that relies on a computer. I don't know. I'm just talking. But in this Russian trial, when they gave a group of people magnesium supplements, they found out instantly they were only half as likely to die during the trial. Do you want to live or do you want to die? I mean, I just find this very, very intriguing. I don't even know if if I've seen a person overdose on magnesium. I know it's possible. Because when they've done studies on laboratory rats, yes, you can give enough magnesium to where your blood pressure just drops so low and then it produces lethargy, you have confusion, you have a disturbed heart rhythm, you have very poor kidney function. Even extremely high doses in laboratory settings has been shown to lead to cardiac arrest. Well, I don't like that. But folks, I just don't see that day in, day out. I don't know that I've ever seen one person overdose on magnesium. Because usually if you go just a little bit more magnesium than what your body needs, your body it has an osmolytic effect, which means everything starts to wash out the back end. I read this from a woman named Helena, spelled H-E-L-E-N-A. Maybe it's Helena. I'm sure it's Helena. I'm just joking. She writes, "You helped my mom, who has suffered with chronic constipation for 60-plus years. She had taken Senna for decades, in which, if you don't know what Senna is, that would be a laxative. A laxative is usually an alkaloid, comes from a plant, that irritates the lining of your gut so much that the body tries to spit the stuff out. Not the same way that food poisoning irritates the lining of the gut. Oh no, when you've got food poisoning, your body tries to eject everything inside, and that'd be like projectile diarrhea." And so Helena goes on to write, I read your post about using magnesium citrate instead. It works like a charm, and she no longer is taking toxic senna. Thank you. If you were to go to the store and prep for a colonoscopy, it may be magnesium citrate. I think a bottle of it could be lemon flavor, orange, cherry flavor. At least that's what I've seen on the shelf at Walmart, or have seen. But magnesium citrate, is that the worst thing that you can do for constipation? No, not at all. You've got to get these rhythmic, peristaltic, wave-like contractions going in your bowels. It's kind of hard to make that work without water. There is a hormone called motilin. To me, it almost sounds like the word motility. So when you're trying to get things moving in your bowels and get things moving out, then what you may want to do is you may want to get that hormone that God designed in your bowels to move things through, called motilin. You may want to get that working right. And the way that you get that working right is with water and magnesium. Is this really a hard concept to grasp or to understand? There is an optimal amount of each and every nutrient that God has created in food that we've got to have. And magnesium just happens to be one of the greatest nutritional deficiencies, especially mineral deficiencies, that we have here in America. And so when we start putting rock phosphate and synthetic fertilizers on our soil, what that can do is it can start depleting the soil of magnesium. I don't know, does Roundup actually enhance the life of the soil, or does it tend to kill it? Well, you already know the answer to that. If they decide they want to completely kill a plot of land and destroy whatever's growing on it, it could be grass for all I know. I think if there's a crop duster that came over the mountain range and swooped down and sprayed Roundup all over the 10 acres in a straight line, I think in a short period of time you would find out that there are a dead 10 acres. And if you put a spade in the soil and try to dig it up, I seriously doubt you're going to find earthworms or much organic life forms still living and available. Probably find a lot of dead earthworms. But you got to have magnesium in the soil to generate life. It's just that magnesium, it's got to be one of the greatest deficiencies of all time. What else did I read about that? I thought this was... Oh, this is interesting right here. In one clinical trial, magnesium supplementation by pregnant mothers reduced the risk of cerebral thought palsy by 30%. Well, we already know that nobody wants to have a child with cerebral palsy. And yes, there may be very mild versions of it, or there might be some with moderate severity. But we also know that there are some children, God bless them, that have very severe cerebral palsy. Just magnesium supplementation alone decreases that risk by 30%. So if you're a woman and you're pregnant, would it be a good idea to drink alcohol? No, that causes magnesium deficiency. Is it a great idea to nurse a baby and drink alcohol? No. I don't know of any studies that show that it's safe to drink alcohol while you're nursing a baby. But with a magnesium deficiency, that could harm a young child. Just don't do it. Okay. If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to give me a call. To me, this is so fascinating. Okay. What are the symptoms of an acute magnesium deficiency? Well, muscle cramps. If you have this very obnoxious, annoying twitch on your eyelid, and maybe you can't really see it in the mirror, but you know it's kind of fasciculating and twitching and jerking on its own, it drives you crazy. That is actually kind of a classic sign of a magnesium deficiency. But what if you had very bad cramps in your legs? Could be magnesium. Do you know how common it is to have heart arrhythmias, where the heart may speed up or might skip a beat or throw an extra beat or flip and do a flop and a backflip inside of your chest? All that could be a magnesium deficiency. And there's some people that have tremors where they just can't control it. They have this tremor and they have a shake and their fingers kind of jerk and twitch and they can't get up and walk. Sometimes that's a magnesium deficiency. And there's plenty of women that have chronic headaches. I talked to a woman recently who said, Dr. Morgan, she said, I've been suffering for 20 years with migraine headaches. No one ever believed me. They said, on the outside, you look fine. We can't tell there's a problem with you. She said, I wish I knew this a long time ago, but the headaches are gone. But that's one of the symptoms of a magnesium deficiency. And the other one would be acid reflux. How many people have acid reflux? Oh, no. We're too quick to give drugs for that, aren't we? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I didn't think anybody's going to call Dr. Morgan, so I thought I would.
Oh, well, you saved me. Thanks.
Well, yes, good studies there. I'm going to ask a question, and if you know anything about it, then you can answer. My daughter's proud of herself. She quit smoking, but...
Oh, awesome.
She's pulling on them old vapor things, them old electric things or whatever. Do you know anything about those?
Yeah, they're probably more toxic than the cigarettes themselves, and I'm not saying that to bring you down, but I think I read one study that shows there's a much higher occurrence of bladder cancer. That's the one that comes to my mind, but isn't that something else? We give up one thing for another, and it has a law of unintended consequences. You develop a cancer because of the toxicity of the chemicals in the vapor. Can I run something by you real quick?
Yes, sir.
Years ago, and I don't really remember, but can I just say 20? I'm going to say 20 years ago, there was a supplement that I used to purchase from a company called Thorne Research. And Thorne Research does a pretty good job of making what I'd call pure supplements, meaning they don't put in extra fillers or chemical preservatives. They try to make sure they're just really, really clean. But they had this very interesting supplement they sold called Sulfonyl. You may not have heard, yeah, but what does Sulfonyl sound like? It almost sounds like it has sulfur in it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And if I remember correctly, it was called bivalent sulfur. And I wish I had my book from 20 years ago in front of me that explained how this was derived from nature. But suffice it to say, it was just sulfur. But you know what this stuff would do? When somebody would take this form of sulfur, it would just completely fill in that slot in the cell that nicotine filled up. And so what it would do is it would block it. And so if somebody said, Dr. Morgan, you don't understand. I'm on Copenhagen. I can't stop. It's overtaken me. I would be the most irritable, cranky human on earth if I didn't dip Skoal. Well, Sulfonyl was the rare product that I could use that would give that person a window of opportunity to break that habit just by using sulfur. I just thought that was so fascinating. So if somebody wanted to quit cigarettes or chewing tobacco or Skoal, Sulfonyl was the product to use.
Okay.
Now, I got to tell you, there's a problem, though. If I'm not mistaken, here's how the rest of the story goes. A gentleman, and I, from what I read, he was from India. He came up with this brilliant technology, and I thought, way to go. And he kind of would... let Thorne Research produce his product if they gave him just a little bit of a royalty. So you have to understand it's a nutritional product, so it's not very expensive. So the royalties are probably quite low. But I think they got into an argument over how much of a royalty he would actually get from it, and so he pulled the product. And I thought, oh, my word, now nobody can get it. But it was bivalent sulfur. And it's crazy how well it worked. Sometimes I could even use this stuff on somebody that had tremendous addiction to marijuana or to alcohol. And you know as well as I do, those things are so addictive, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that this vaping is a little bit addictive?
Oh, I imagine. Because it just seems like they do it more than they smoke.
Oh, my word. If you pull up to a red light at an intersection, you're stopped. And somebody roll, you look in the car next to you and it's filled with like a thick fog. That's vaping. Uh-huh. It's just crazy how much, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, we went to my wife's brother-in-law's funeral, and she said, can I go if I just use a vapor? She'd already quit smoking. We said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the smell ever left. I mean, it was just like every 5 minutes.
And I was getting a headache from smelling it.
Yeah, we were getting headaches from smelling.
I mean, what does that tell you? If it generates a headache in you, I mean, maybe some of that could have been from stress. But it also could be because the stuff is just so toxic, and that's your body's way of saying, hey, get away from that stuff.
Yeah, I did for 35 years, and I told my daughter, you know, and this is the way I feel about it. I believe in the Lord, and I believe he'll help you. I've been quitting that for, I guess, I don't know, 10 years, but anyway.
Oh, amen. Awesome.
I told her, she said, I want to quit. No, you don't. If you want to quit, you'll quit. That's all it boils down to. If you want to, you will.
You know, that seems to be true in almost every aspect of life. If you want something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
Would it be hard for you to quit Copenhagen if you had unlimited access to it at the factory?
It probably
would, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
And probably nobody knows this, but, well, no, everybody knows this probably, but let's just say this way. Or say it this way. I'm kind of in a unique position where I see people vape all day long. Not in my office, but let's just say in close proximity.
Yeah.
And sometimes I see people that are vaping that are so young. And I'm going, how could they get access to that? They can't even be 18 years old. I had a guy the other day walk by my office, and I thought, he's got to be 15, and he's vaping already. How does that work? But Sometimes you can get around laws by finding somebody else to buy something for you, right?
That's right. I did it when I was young.
But at least I wanted to throw that out there to you. I mean, I realize that may not solve the initial problem that you've got, but I am not so sure that vaping is not 10 times more poisonous than cigarettes themselves, and I'm serious about that.
It's already been proven that it will cause bladder cancer.
Well, I mean, when you read those numbers, you're going, oh, dude, how could that? What? And so, you know, it's just a matter of time, right?
Yes,
until
sir.
We start having class action lawsuits on TV showing if you've been vaping and you develop bladder cancer. I'm trying to think of the one that I saw not that long ago. Which one was it? It was on okay, I got it. Do you know what the herbicide is called, Roundup?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There was a commercial that I heard on the radio. It said, if you have developed bladder cancer, and what was the other one? It was another form of cancer. Maybe it was, I don't remember. For some reason, I'm thinking esophageal, but I don't think that's right. But they said bladder cancer, and you've been in contact with Roundup, call this law firm. We want to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
You can bet your bottom dollar. If that's about the only way we're going to have a change with this vaping is if they have a class action lawsuit because of the severe toxicity. And plus, just think about the future of America. What's it going to be like if all these children are poisoned to the point? That's probably what I should tell everybody. And I know everybody already understands this, but I'm just going to repeat it like a broken record. The more toxic something is to the human body, the more addictive it is. The more toxic, the more addictive it is. And so if somebody first smokes a cigarette and they've never had any cigarettes in their life, they haven't been around them, it's probably going to be like I was when I was 13 years old. I'm probably going to get sick. My gills are going to turn green.
Yeah.
I'm going to get nauseated. I'm going to feel like my stomach is queasy. I'm about to throw up. I've got a headache. My head is spinning. I'm dizzy. I'm going, Roy, why did you try to smoke that cigarette? You destroyed yourself.
But, listen, your own body, because the first time you take a puff of a cigarette, if you ever have, you're going to start coughing and choking, and your body's going to say, you know, I don't want this stuff.
That's exactly what your body's telling you. Don't. This is too poisonous. Don't do it. Anyway, it's just something else. Yeah, we poison ourselves, but if we ignore our body's desire to be healthy, we can override all the coughing and hacking and vomiting, can't we?
Yes, sir. Well, you're doing a good job. Keep it up, sir. I don't want to take up all the time.
Thank you very much for your phone call. I hope you all have a great day.
All right. Have a blessed one.
Oh, you too. Blessings all upon right. you also. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Yeah, I wish I had access to that product, and maybe it's around, but just in a different company or different format. I haven't run across that. You know what? That does pique my interest, though, because I'm going to look that up and see if I can't find, because I could probably use that at least once a week with somebody trying to overcome some addiction. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm fantastic.
Good. Love that.
Hey, my wife and I have changed our diet, and we're, like, doing no grains, no sugars. By the way, she told me to tell you that be careful what you say, because she's doing keto and she's packing. And she said you would know who that is.
Sir, you don't have to threaten me by pulling a fire. Never mind. Go ahead. That's funny. Now, hey, I'm proud of you and your wife.
She has been having an issue with her hair coming out large clumps. Don't know if it's due to just the pretty much rapid weight loss or change in the diet or what. So,
well, I know this is going to sound really bizarre what I'm telling you, but just let me have a go at this. When someone has a very specific change in their diet and they lose a significant amount of weight, sometimes I wonder within my own heart how much toxic debris is dumped by the liver, because I think the liver is the gatekeeper.
Right.
And so for some people, you've got to make sure that they have adequate amounts of good organic salt or sodium in their diet, because if they don't have that. And so one potential solution for your wife to see if it stops the hair loss, if she's doing all this stuff, is maybe considering celery juice every day. Celery, absolutely. Yeah. Celery has one of the greatest profiles of organic sodium that I've ever seen before.
Okay.
And so you could say, well, is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? Is it a grain? Well, I would say no. It's probably more like an herb, which means it's more like a natural medicine. So some people, when they're trying to undergo this tremendous transformation of their body, they might benefit so greatly just by adding some celery juice first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. And that may transform her, but if the hair is falling out, I know these are just my words. It probably doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but probably the blood's just a little bit dirty, and we need to help clean it up.
Okay.
So if you get off the phone and tell your wife I said that she's got dirty blood, I will never hear the end of that. So you might consider celery juice just because of that rich mineral profile.
Okay.
And also just the idea of wanting to... I don't know anybody that'd be listening this morning, you know, you and me included, obviously. We just want to feel good, don't we?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. Is it easier for you to go to work every day and perform well at your job and do your very best? And I know you. You want to bless and help every person you come across. I mean, one of your natural God-given skill sets is you're just a natural encourager. That's all. You're like a total servant's heart. But you can't. It's hard to do that when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel great, right?
Right.
Well, you might want to. So one of the old remedies was giving oats to people that felt like they were run down. But she's not on grains, so we might switch to celery juice and see if that really helps clean the liver and the kidneys a whole lot better, or helps them do their job by pulling toxins out of the liver and the blood.
Well, I did do the 3-day liver cleanse fast that you suggested with the hibiscus tea. She didn't make it.
We don't need to bring that up.
Yeah, there may be that going on, but cool. Well, that sounds awesome. We're just trying different things and haven't quite figured out. She's not really. We're actually driving right now, but had tried everything. Just trying. She's sort of taking Biotin, to try to help, but she's not stressing about it so much. It's odd that she just picked this time in her life to actually grow her hair longer, and when she grows her hair longer, it typically will break off more frequently than when it's shorter. This is a lot of hair.
The number one factor that regulates the growth of hair or hair regeneration is going to be iron levels. And because she's a woman, she's had that monthly menstrual cycle. You know, when the moon goes around the earth once every 28 days, well, a woman has a menstrual period every 28 days. Well, she's had more blood loss than what you have or what I've had. So in those cases, when she's purging big time, she may be purging old iron, and she could actually be just a little bit low in iron, unless she's eating a significant amount of red meat. But what you're looking at is, if she is a little bit... I know this is personal, and she's probably right beside you, but is there any trouble at all with any bowel elimination or constipation at all?
No. That's all subsided.
Well, if there's hair loss, then I've got to look to iron and zinc, and I've got to look to sodium. And celery juice could probably remedy all that.
Okay.
Unless she wants
to eat
celery.
Give me a thumbs up. Which I do. I love it.
Oh, I do too. It's like my childhood treat.
Well, I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Monday morning, I was 10 pounds away from my doctor's prescribed weight goal for the first time in my adult life. So thank you for helping us with that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're awesome. You're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. So pleased.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye.
I did talk to your mother on the phone this week when she called me, and I encouraged her to take some action steps. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Whoops. Well, I thought I pushed it the right time. Sorry about that. Here we go. Let me try one more time, please. Okay, I think I got you now. I'm Dr. Morgan. I didn't mean to hang up on you. Good morning.
I appreciate you talking this morning about the magnesium. I have been having a lot of leg cramps. Actually, the cramps now have moved to my hands and, this unusual upper thighs now where they used to be just in my legs, my lower legs. And I started taking magnesium citrate because I do have constipation problems occasionally.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Well, it is too active for me.
You mean you might be taking a little bit too much?
Well, yeah, even just one pill is too much. So
okay.
So what other options do I have? I know there's so many kinds of magnesium.
Okay.
And should I pair it up with potassium? I've done some reading.
No, you're doing a great job. And here's what I was going to say first.
Okay.
Is there one particular health food store that you like to go to shop for products and such?
Oh, sure. I'm in Tyler. Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you like to go?
The Granary.
Okay. Well, when you go there, there's going to be a shelf where they have all manner of salt that a person could use on their food. And they've got, like, the pink Himalayan salt.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was at Drug Emporium yesterday just because of the timing of it. And they have, like, Redmond sea salt, and they have Celtic salt. Well, if I were to choose two of those salts that probably have the best mineral profile for you that give you a little bit of everything...
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Celtic or the Celtic salt is probably going to be one of the greater bases of magnesium, meaning I think it's 66 or 67% magnesium. And so it doesn't have the high amount of sodium in it like other salts do. And it has a little bit different taste and flavor, but I like it. I just think I'm used to it. And the other one, and usually Celtic salt is going to come from those brine saline ponds like in Great Britain and northern France. Stuff like that.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
the Redmonds, I think that comes from Washington State.
Oh.
Are you a Washington Husky fan? Well, if that's the case, you might want to do the Redmond salt. But I think one of the most overlooked things in medicine and healthcare is we've spun this around to try to say salt is bad. It is not bad. Now, refined salt, where it's highly processed,
yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you need it.
Why I want it.
Well, you know what my mother's remedy was? She said, Roy, what I have is a little tea saucer. You know how like you have like a little teacup for a tea party with little girls?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, the little saucer for the teacup. She would just put a little bit of Celtic salt, like salt dust, on that plate. And she said, Roy, if I ever wake up in the middle of the night and I have a cramp in my leg, all I do is I place my finger on my tongue to wet it, and then I touch the top of the salt that's in the saucer, and I put it on my tongue, and I suck on the salt, and the cramps go away instantly. And I've said, oh, really? But you know how many people have told me, they said, hey, Dr. Morgan, let me tell you something. Your mama was right. I did the same thing. I woke up at 2 in the morning with a cramp. You know how sometimes you just innocently turn over in bed?
Yeah.
And you might, like, flick the cover or push a pillow around, and all of a sudden you got a cramp in your leg, and you're going, great, I did hardly anything, and now I've got, like, a cramp. I got to get up and work that sucker out. But what if you tried the Celtic salt? That's what she used, but I don't see any problem with Redmond salt. And you might see a benefit from the Himalayan salt, but I think the Celtic and the Redmonds are probably going to be my two top choices as far as that good mineral profile, because I have a little bit of everything in them, if I can say it that way.
Okay, that's awesome.
I remember, you are the salt of the earth, right?
That's right.
You are one salty chick.
I will be. That's right.
And the other thing that I mentioned earlier, and this is, I think this is overlooked quite frequently, is we've got to have electrolytes to have energy. If we don't do anything else but just try to enhance how we produce energy, we're going to be in so much better shape health wise than if we ignore that. But like I said earlier, celery juice has one of the best organic forms of sodium that I know of. It's not refined. I mean, I want to think of celery as like an herb, but right now I'm fantasizing about putting peanut butter and raisins on top of a celery stick and calling that dessert.
I do like to eat celery. I don't care for the juice. It seems like the juice is just pretty strong. So,
well, you're right about that. I mean, what am I going to do? Lie to you and say, oh, it's just going to be sweet like apple juice? That ain't happening.
No.
But you know, sometimes we do things because we feel like this is really good for me. It's going to help me and it's going to make me better. Therefore, I will consider it and do it. Right.
Right. That's true.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I hope that helps. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The other thing, I think you've just got to set your mind that you have got to get oxygen in the body. Oxygen might end up being one of the greatest detoxifiers and healing agents of all time. If you said, I have chest pain, and the ambulance pulls up and says, would you like oxygen? You say, yes, I would. That's going to be a win. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. It's such a blessing.
Oh, well, thank you. You're so kind. Sometimes I say things and I think, nobody's interested in talking about sodium today or magnesium or leg cramps, but evidently somebody is.
Well, you're right. We don't know what we need until we listen to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm glad that you called today. How may I help?
The T3 test, is that to do with the thyroid?
I didn't hear what you said. What test?
T is in Tom, 3. T3.
Yes, ma'am. It is.
When should you take iodine?
Well, let me say it this way. The thyroid is the largest gland that produces hormones in the body. It's just right there in the front and the base of your neck, right?
Right.
And so the two principal hormones that they measure very, very frequently with a lab test. So if you go to your medical doctor and say, could you please test my thyroid?
Yes.
Well, they may order a test called TSH, and that's just short for thyroid stimulating hormone.
Yeah.
And so then you have one called T4.
Okay.
And what T4 means is there's one molecule of the amino acid or the protein called tyrosine. Let's just call it an essential amino acid. At least that's what I want to. And then T3 is only going to... There's going to be one molecule of tyrosine. There's going to be four molecules of iodine around that molecule of tyrosine.
Okay.
And that's why they call it T4. But T3 is different. There's only three molecules of iodine around it. But in order to convert T4, which is the... I mean, you need it, but it's not as active as T3. And I know I'm going to get sidetracked just for one second, but give me a little bit of liberty here, please.
Sure.
But they've done studies, and they've shown that if somebody feels down emotionally, and they feel kind of blue and stressed, and if they drink alcohol, or they take methamphetamines, or cocaine, or heroin, what happens is there's this instantaneous conversion of T4 into T3 on the level of the brain. And when you have a surge of T3, you feel amazing. I mean, you feel really, really good. Like, this is the way that I want to feel all the time. I feel great on when I have optimal T3. But, you know, like you start off with, yes, that's a standard lab test. They can measure your T3 levels. But If your T4 is probably within the normal range, but your T3 is a little bit lower, you know what I think of?
What?
I think of the liver. Because the liver is where all that happens. If you want to convert T4 into the more active form called T3 so you can feel really, really good, then your liver has got to be able to make that conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make that conversion, you've got to have a couple of things. Let me cover those. There is a trace element or a mineral found in nature. It's very unique. It is called selenium.
Okay.
You can't convert T4 into T3 to make yourself feel great unless you have enough selenium. I think the enzyme is called the deiodinase enzyme. It means it just actively cleaves off one iodine molecule off T4 and it converts it into that powerhouse called T3, and that's where you just feel really, really good. But you got to have selenium to do that. And if I'm not mistaken, there is another mineral that might be called the cornerstone of your entire immune system that without it, you can't do that. It's called zinc.
Right.
So let me give you an idea, and you tell me if you agree or not. You don't have to agree with me just because I say it. There's a few people that have disagreed with me, but let's just say it this way. If there are 600 unique enzymes within the human body that require zinc, what happens to the human organism if it doesn't get enough zinc? Maybe only 350 of those enzymes have enough zinc to get the job done. That means you might have a whole lot of enzymes that don't even work right, or they can't do their job the way that God designed them to because they're lacking zinc. So there is a case to be made by trying to nourish the body with adequate amounts of zinc. That's why I want you to eat some seafood today. Because it's a rich source of zinc.
Right. Yeah.
But you've got to have selenium, and probably, hands down, the best source of selenium, it comes from the rainforest.
Oh, Lord.
They're called Brazil nuts.
Oh, really?
You like Brazil nuts?
I don't know.
Have you ever tried them?
Probably 50 years ago.
50? That's impossible. You sound like you're 32 years of age, ma'am, and I'm very good at determining age by listening to people's voices.
Well, I was going to say you're not good at judging ages, but I won't dispute you.
You mean, did I miss it by more than a year, though? Tell me
yes.
The truth. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have to have selenium to make that work. But, you know, the simple concept, if I say that your liver is maybe the greatest purifier of your blood along with the kidneys, I think that we could agree on that. I mean, if you call your doctor and say, hey, what's my best filter of the blood to keep it clean and pure and keep me in good working order, he'd probably say, well, I think your liver is. So if a person has any health problems and they can't quite get over them, it's hard not to look at the liver. It's really hard not to look at the liver. And that's one of the reasons why I said, you know, when I told a gentleman the other day about dandelion tea, I said, you know what, that's going to help your liver function better. He said, you mean like dandelion, the weed that grows in the yard? I said, yeah. You know, some of the stories I've heard people tell me is when they were kids, they'd walk up and down the roads with a basket and pick dandelion greens and take them home and eat them in a salad.
Well, yeah.
I don't really hear that anymore from the people under the age of 32, but those would be for people 32 and above.
Well, I don't know. Maybe my mother didn't know what a dandelion was. I don't know.
I bet she did, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think all the animals of the forest, they understand how this works because I have observed, like wild, you know, boar or feral hogs or pigs eating dandelions. I mean, they go after them like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure.
So if you had your choice of, I started to say strawberry jello mixed with corn. No, they may prefer that because it's like crack cocaine for deer and hogs. So, you always want to look to the liver when there's a thyroid issue. Always, 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 because that's where all the conversion or the enzymatic conversion takes place. But go ahead and ask me your questions one more time. What do you want to know?
If my thyroid readings on blood work are in the normal range and a little bit higher than the middle part, why would I need to be taking more iodine to get into the optimum range? And is that...
I would say that's valid. And, you know, the thyroid may use more iodine than any other gland to produce hormones, a woman has got to have iodine to maintain the health of her breast tissue. That's and you've true. Got you've got to have iodine just to make sure your skin is healthy. And one little detail that kind of popped in the back of my mind a while ago when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Just your average white blood cell. This is your active, living, breathing immune system. It carries little packets of iodine around. And so if you and I were out in the wilderness and we had our plane crashed and we had to walk 200 miles to get back to civilization.
Wow.
I'm just making this up, by the way.
Good.
But if we did and you said, hey, look at this. There's a puddle of water. Now we can get something to drink. What would I say? Maybe we should pop an iodine tablet in this jar of water that we scooped up to make sure it's not full of infection or viruses. Because what would happen if you drank water and 2 hours later you got projectile vomiting and diarrhea and you're doubled over in pain?
Right.
It'd be kind of hard to walk out of the desert when you're like doubled over and you're losing all your fluid from projectile vomiting and diarrhea.
Yeah.
But iodine sterilizes it. It kills it. Even if you and I go to these large Mart stores, back at the sporting goods department, what do they sell? Iodine tablets.
Tablets,
to
yeah.
purify the water. If you're stuck in the woods, like if you were hunting moose in Alaska, and you were on the side of the mountain and your plane had just crashed and you walked away from it, thank the good Lord, you might be glad that you had a bottle of iodine tablets to sterilize the water. But your white blood cells, they carry iodine around for the very purpose of helping kill viruses and bacteria,
yeah,
and funguses and parasites and even cancer cells. And so one thing that I've noticed is when people have ample amounts of iodine, they don't get sick all the time with every bug that comes along. I mean, that's just a simple observation that I've made. I think to myself, really? Iodine might keep you healthier? Yeah, it's an essential element. Now, here's what I really want to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Greek goddess by the name of Iodes. You ever, heard, of, you ever heard of her?
No, but you have, so that counts.
Well, that's what the element iodine is named after, because when they would take the element iodine and they would burn it in a flame in ancient Greece, it would create a purple smoke.
Purple smoke?
That's only book knowledge. I wasn't back there. I know I'm old, but I wasn't back there in Sparta burning iodine over the campfire to see if it turned purple. But you know what? I could imagine people around the campfire, the warriors going, this means nothing more than the blessing of the Greek goddess Iodes. She's for us because we have purple smoke. There's a purple haze. No, I just think that's how its name was derived. But, you know, I'm going back to basics here. Well, let's put it this way. Have you ever seen pictures of people without salt and without iodine? They get these crusty boils and scabs all over their skin. It looks horrible.
Mm.
When you're low in iodine and when you're low in salt or sodium,
yeah.
I'm talking about from food sources here, you languish. I think back in the 1930s, they did an experiment where they gave, where they took college-age men that were tremendous athletes, they put them on a total salt-restricted diet, and after about 4 days, they didn't want to get up out of their beds. They weren't interested in doing anything. You can't tell me salt and iodine aren't important to the human existence. But when you eat ocean fish, guess what you're getting? Iodine. Do you know what I would say is one of the top superfoods of all time if you had to choose one thing to consume? It would be kelp from the ocean. If you can get your hands on a clean source of kelp, which I realize kelp can be contaminated just like anything else.
Right.
Are you going to go to the Houston Ship Channel and pull some kelp up and start eating it? It may not be a good plan. But if you get kelp from where the water's clean and free of toxins, I'd say, hey, kelp gives you iodine.
Well, is that chlorella or whatever you call it?
Chlorella is a algae that grows in the ocean.
Right.
And chlorella is one of the most concentrated sources of nutrition on the face of the earth. And I always think of chlorella being very rich in what's called chlorophyll. And at the center of a chlorophyll molecule, guess what's at the middle of it? It's magnesium.
Uh-huh.
So we have what's called hemoglobin that transports oxygen all over the body. At the center of the hemoglobin molecule, you have a molecule of iron. Chlorophyll is almost identical to human hemoglobin. That's just a total mistake, right? Ha ha. But at the center of chlorophyll, you've got magnesium. At the center of a hemoglobin molecule, you've got iron. But these are essential minerals to the well-being of life. And you know what? Oxygen. They help increase oxygen. You win when you have more oxygen. That's one of the reasons why exercise and blood flow and being strong is so critical to maintaining your health. And so let's just say, for example, I were to examine you and you had very poor blood flow to your toes, and what would that look like? Well, the simplest thing I could say is there's toenail fungus, or the toenails have turned yellow and they've gotten thicker. Those are just classic signs you are not getting enough oxygen to your toes. And so I know this sounds too simplistic. Let's just say you go to a doctor and say, I don't like this toenail fungus on my pinky toe. He says, I've got the solution for you. It's called Lamisil. If there is a drug that's more destructive to the liver, I'm not sure I know what it is. I've seen beautiful, healthy people just destroyed by Lamisil. Just because it's a prescription drug doesn't mean it's safe. But the solution is oxygen. So what if you start walking every day? And within about 3 months, that toenail started growing out beautiful and clear and clean without the fungus. And you're going to go, oh, my word. But if we looked at your legs, maybe we've grown a whole bunch of new blood vessels that carry oxygen-rich blood to the toes. So thick toenails, cold feet, toe problems, toenail fungus, that's all low oxygen, baby.
Well, that's terrific news, I'm bet, for everybody who's listening.
I think I went overboard on the topic.
Well, speaking of veins in the legs, what if you got an ugly one and you think, I don't want to wear anything lower than higher than my ankle because you got a vein that's sticking out?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Is it safe to have those things?
I don't know that I have enough time to kind of flesh that one out, but I'd say this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a habit of this person that has a vein that's bulging out, if they don't have a habit of daily exercise, it's really hard to reverse those. Because blood tends to pool up in the veins and it becomes very stagnant. Sometimes the valves in those veins begin to break down. And I would say, just as a side note, you've got to have zinc to keep the valves of the legs in good working order. Without zinc, it's just doomed for failure. You're going to have varicose veins and you're going to have veins that break and bulge. Not that I'm trying to make zinc into a panacea where it cures everything, but at least it's worth a consideration. I will say this. It's harder to see at night when you're low in zinc, and you tend to want to eat every drop of sugar in sight when you're low in zinc. Sugar craving. And unfortunately, I'm completely out of time, but please call me next week, and I'll be glad to answer your phone calls, all right?
Thank you, sir, so much.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. Have a good weekend, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.